Log Talk Radio.
Thank you, British lady. There we go.
Oh, yeah, get used to this. Apparently, it's something Dr. John did.
Oh, really? Very good. Probably something scary had. Now our sound man. Wow. Okay. Nothing like interesting. Okay, that was a little unsettling. Sounded like my ex-wife. But regardless.
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know, it's kind of funny. Dr. John referenced whether it was entrance music or came at minor discussion, entrance music or theme music, depending upon one's mindset for if you're a wrestling fan or not. But, yeah, go ahead. Hey, time to do a proper intro.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Fabulous music for a pop culture star show, but nevertheless, today is 11/9/22. We appreciate everybody joining us. I am your host, Dave Atwill. Here where things are getting a little chilly in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We are preparing for another tropical hurricane depression storm thingy that's supposed to be rolling through here in the next day and a half. Otherwise, it's not so cold to the point you can't stand it. It's kind of like just right. It's just if this wind would quit, because the wind feels like snow up your pant leg, and it's not real comfy. But nevertheless, I am going to kick it around to my most esteemed panel this evening. And I'm going to go directly to the potential invading state of Indiana. We're just waiting for them to attack the outlying states. Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio are all in imminent danger of the invasion. That was a great meme I sent you guys. Nevertheless, let's start off there. In Indianapolis, in the outlying regions where the alpaca do unmentionable things. Tim, what's going on, brother?
The alpacas are going to lead the invasion. They're going to spit on those states. Hey, just hanging out here in the office. Still having some nice mild weather. It's pretty warm actually, but I think we're in for a freeze over sometime this weekend. I don't know. I'm getting a new heater, so the heater folks were here today. That's exciting news. Dropping quite a few dimes for that one. Other than that, just living the dream. Looking forward to a good show.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, when you get those new systems put into the house, it's so nice because you actually get a real heat or a real cool. And it's another one of those financial phenomena where if you dump the $15,000 on a new system, you can save $200 a month on your light bill type thing. It's just getting the $15,000 to dump on the system to start with is what the real barrier is. But, yeah, you guys will probably run into, like we run into here in North Carolina, where you just, it's 75, 75, 45. It just kind of like happens in a day, and you're scrambling to get the flannel out and everything else. But definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us. And I'm going to kick it over to the parts unknown from where the alpaca roam, but in the same vicinity, my good brother and anchor man, Todd, what's up?
Hey, man, I'm sitting here just doing outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Yeah, Kim ain't joking. We had a rather pretty day today. The last couple weren't necessarily warm, weren't necessarily cool. Temperatures actually were above average. And it's actually getting ready to go below average here shortly. We've got a couple days coming where the high of the day is at best going to be 3 degrees above the average low for November. So we've had our yin, and as it yanks the carpet out from under our feet, there's a whole new meaning to our yang. Be more like a yoinks. Just saying. It's a coming.
Yeah, and y'all get the SNOW up there, too. That's something that we're spared of here on the coast for the most part. But, yeah, the snow is kind of like the rain. It's real enjoyable if you ain't got to go out in it. But the minute you've got to run the store or go to work or hit appointments up, it just totally takes the fun out of any type of good times out there in the damn snow and everything. But hopefully,
absolutely. The people that love the snow haven't shoveled it a day in their lives.
No.
The ones out there cleaning off the vehicles, having to drive in it when, you know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that shoveling the damn driveway, folks don't understand. You know, it's like out here, I've been out here raking leaves, and the other day I raked, I raked up probably half dozen piles, and when I say piles, they're about thigh-high piles of leaves, and I had intention of burning them all week long. It's just the wind's been so damn bad. So I get up next morning, and I walk outside, and it's right at dawn, and I walk out, and I've got my flashlight in my hand. I'm about half awake with the dogs, and I'm crunching, and I'm going, what the hell am I crunching for? I just raked all this. I am where I'm at, right? And I shine the flashlight around, and there's my six great big piles, and it looked like I ain't raked a damn thing because more leaves just came down on top of it. And unfortunately, shoveling snow is much the same. You know, you'll shovel it out before you go to work. You got to shovel a little bit before you go to bed, so you can get up and shovel some before you go to work again. It's,
Tim doesn't understand is shoveling snow in North Carolina. You got to remember the weather that they usually have there where Dave lives and such, my family is. The only thing they have is like, you know, the stuff that the kids have for the beach. So they're out there with the little kids' beach bucket and little kids' beach sand scooper thing, and they're doing up the stuff. And so they get a full bucket, they walk over the side of the driveway, pile it up, and go over back to the driveway. Yeah, they got the little kids' hand sand shovel. That's all they got.
Yeah, because
probably three people on your street actually have a shovel for snow.
Yeah, it's, you remember when we had the snow at the club that time, and I had bought that snow shovel it was a damn construction shovel, one of those great big, for moving like debris and everything, and I had picked that thing up, and I had put it in my office there, and the big joke was that's how I scooped the shit out of that building. You know, whenever the shit got deep, I'd break the shovel out.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we had that snow, and all the snow was piled up against the damn doors and everything, and everybody's like night crews out there with pallets. They're out there with a damn forklift trying to shove a pallet across, you know, to plow the stuff out of the way. And I says, y'all go get that shovel out of my office. They said, you got a snow shovel? I was like, close enough. Go out there, and next thing you know, they had that thing done in no time flat. And then, of course, we had the snow shovel apocalypse that time there at the club where we actually got a pallet of those things in. And everybody was like, nobody would take them from us. So they said, and this was back, you know, Todd, you might not have been with us because we were remodeling at the time. We didn't totally have everything
put
together.
I was not there for the remodel.
Okay. All right. So what happened is we had a pallet of snow shovels, right? And we tried to get another club to take them from us, you know, the Greensboros and that kind of stuff. Well, they wouldn't take the shovels. So we had them on display because, I mean, you can't just, I mean, you put them up in the field, they're not going to sell there. You got to have them on floor somewhere. And we didn't sell a damn one. So Miller came in one day. And you remember Miller, you know. Miller says,
yeah.
Why do we got these? I mean, how much snow do we get in Jacksonville? We're 20 minutes from goddamn ocean. I don't understand. Call up Greensboro and tell them to take these damn things off. So, well, we tried, Mr. Miller, and they won't take them from us. He goes, I'll be damned. He picks his phone up and says, hey, I'm here in Jacksonville. I'm sending you a pallet of snow shovels, and I don't want to hear nothing about it. I'll talk to you sometime this week. Hangs the phone up, right? So everybody's snickering, you know, like, ha, 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 we finally got rid of the snow shovels, you know. Well, a week later, we end up with, like, 5 inches of snow. And everybody who had seen that pallet sit there for, like, 3 months came in looking for the damn snow shovels. They wanted to kick our ass so bad. Well, you guys had them right here last week. I was like, yeah, well, yeah, about that. That was a lot of fun because they had that whole damn place tore apart. And if you could imagine a construction site, you know, where just stuff's laying all over the place, rebar and you know, mortar rubble and all that kind of jazz. And it was all covered in snow. So everything looked just nice and pristine and everything, but you're walking, and next thing you know, you're, you know, wiping out over a pile of cinder block or something like that. It was crazy. But nevertheless, it don't happen often down here, so, you know, but of course, we got to get a hurricane every damn other week, but I guess you got to take your lumps. Anywho, we are going to move on to tonight's topic, a topic that's very near and dear to our hearts here. Pop culture stars. Tonight is the 9th of November. Tomorrow will be the 10th of November. Why is the 10th of November special every year? Ladies and gentlemen, it is because it is the birthday of the wonderful group of people known as the United States Marine Corps. And, Todd, this is what, 249? Am I right on that? 47. All right, thank you. Cool. So, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we are going to talk it up about the Marine Corps and, of course, Veterans Day that is celebrated Friday. But I think they still take a federal holiday on Monday, if I'm not mistaken, is how it's going to work this year. So you get a – if you're lucky enough to get the nifty little four-day bookend weekend out of it. So
go ahead, Tim, clarify the Fed holiday.
It's going to be observed on Friday.
Oh, is it? Okay. So no Monday. Sure.
Correct.
You should. Everybody should get mail, and banks should be open and whatnot on Monday.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Very
normal
good.
Normal business. Okay.
Well, that's not so bad. I mean, getting a Friday off. Because I know having them federal holidays on Saturday or on Monday, it just kind of throws the whole damn week off. Because you almost got to kind of crunch Whereas if you crunch on the front side going in, it's kind of a little bit easier on you, you know? But at least weighs us 4 days.
Boy, your idea of easy and my idea of easy. And yeah, two very different things.
Oh, man. So, Marine Corps, of course, we've got Todd, who's a veteran. We've got Tim, who's contracted in with the Marine Corps. And
not contracted. He's, I guess they call them civilian Marines.
Yeah, that's controversial. A lot of people don't like that term, so I don't really refer to myself as such. I'm a civilian that works for the Marine Corps.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the phrase myself, but that's me. But I get it, because a lot of them, there are some that I feel like are more deserving of that than others.
I'm sure you got the assortment of looky-loos over there like we have on any other job that comes along. But, yeah, man, the Marine Corps, of course, my life's been huge, as I've discussed my dad on here plenty of times. The sergeant major is doing fine, and there's a lot about him that you know, you don't realize it when you're a kid. You know, that's his dad. He's the guy that's busting your balls about your grades and getting the yard mowed and everything like that. But then, you know, you grow up, you have your own family, and you have to manage your own crew, squad, platoon, whatever you want to call your family. And you start noticing a lot of reasoning behind what he was doing and everything. And I know, you know, we joke often about him trying to bring me and my brother up as a Marine, particularly me more. And, yeah, it was a pain in the ass when I was a teenager and everything. It was a pain in the ass when I was a kid. But I tell you, if it wasn't for that structure, God knows how I would have turned out. And I blame a lot of my success on my parents, just because they made the hard calls and, you know, put that sense of responsibility in it that you get from a place like the Marine Corps. So, and Todd, your children are much the same, too. Both of your, I call them children, they're not kids anymore, for crying out loud. They're grown adults. But you can definitely tell when you speak to Gary and Connor, you could tell that both of them have had the correct upbringing with a sense of responsibility and a self of respect and self-image and everything.
Yeah. The God, freaking growing fast. Sure enough, do. The, yeah, it's amazing. The, know what birthday is, and they got a million stories and a bunch of little things, ton of little memes. And in fact, they did the, I thought this was kind of cool. Last year, it was, our cake cutting ceremony. Here we go. Let me try to put this. I'm trying to phrase something Tim already knows and trying to turn around. Sorry, team. And phrase it in a word picture for everybody that has no clue what I'm talking about, what's going on. So there's a Marine Corps tradition of a cake cutting ceremony and the Marine Corps birthday. And I believe last year and the year prior when we were knee deep, waist deep in COVID at that point, I guess that deep, they not televised, but did like a video cast of the cake cutting ceremony. And they did not do that today. Had an ad hoc minor role in it today, but it was what I like about the way this does it. It's not an hour and a half, two and a half hour to do by the time you're done showing up, getting information, marching from point A to point B and all this kind of stuff. For the ceremony, and we actually had decent numbers there. We were actually able to have people together, and it was really good to see the large number of veterans involved. We have from retired, you definitely call them management in the civilian world, you know, from a retired full bird there, on down through a handful of live Marines, you know, those in uniform, including one. Today was his last day in uniform. Tomorrow is the, he picks up his orders tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Congratulations.
So today was his last full day working in uniform, I guess. What a way to go out on the cake cutting ceremony. But it was, you know, maybe half an hour down and dirty, and it's different when you're, I mean, as a Marine, you know, all the folks around you in your unit, and you start knowing more and more around you, and you work with a bunch of people over the years, but in this room, there's people that several of us have worked together for a number of years now, and some quite a while. And it was just really, really something. I liked it because it's that best of both worlds. Some folks just know it's an annual thing with cake for the most part, and they tell the story in that, but you can be in there and we have the official portion, you know, the commandant's message. He sends each year a commandant sends a message. It's tailored around the original birthday message. Then there's, you know, here in the later years, there's all these, you know, with video production being what it is, it's amazing what they can put together. And they produce every year for the birthday, and they're able to play that. And I'm probably glad Tim wasn't there because I ended up having the lights duty, you know, turn the lights out so they can do the video, everybody watch it, and turn them back on. And I'm pretty sure that if Tim had been there when I went to go hit the lights, he would have been like, and Todd said, let there be. And I hit the light.
And then there was light.
He loves to make the, yeah. He likes to make the old man jokes. He ain't the only one. But it's really the at Two Brute. It's just nice, you know. Speaking the veteran Marine side, you know, to be able to do this in the workplace, not the, I've seen it where it was more a marketing ploy. Let's go with that. And I don't feel like it's a marketing ploy at work.
That's good, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it's, and not taking anything away from any other branch of the armed forces, but there's something different about the Marine Corps birthday. There seems to be a lot more, I don't want to say emotion, but it seems like there's a lot more of somebody. Yeah, there's more heart. There's more.
We're pretty egocentric.
Yeah, you know, it's well deserved. And, you know, if you've ever had to attend birthdays for, you know, the other deserved branches of the armed forces, there's just like there's a certain reverence that comes with the with the Marine Corps birthday. Not to mention all the hell raising you do that evening, but yeah, it's something different, and it's something that everybody should really partake in, or at least ways be party to at least once. You know what I mean? To kind of understand what all it means, because it is. It's very important day, and if you look at American history, the Marines seem like they were always the first one to go in there and having to start spilling the teeth and eyeballs. So, and you said, well, it was 247. Yeah, because the Marines so it was, God, I'm trying to think of the exact year. It's
1775, yes.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to suggest is, and I wasn't going to put Todd on the spot, but I figured he would be the best one to give the history lesson, but I just thought it'd be kind of cool, you know, to give like the maybe just a brief on the origin of the Marine Corps.
Oh, man. Go figure. The could you imagine that you and your friends go to a bar, get so tore up, and start such a big fight that you create the world's best fighting force? Well, they did it without starting a fight, but the Marine Corps was actually founded 10 November 1775 in Tun's Tavern in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They do have a placard thing out there still to mark the location where it once was. And despite it being in Philadelphia, I believe it doesn't actually have any bullet holes in it. But
yeah.
And their first amphib was right there during the Revolutionary War, basically getting off a ship and going ashore to a place where the British had some stuff stashed, and basically went in and looted the place for arms and you know, the gunpowder and whatnot for supplies to continue the battle, the war. They started primarily a ship defense, but to go ahead and, you know, in case of boarding parties and stuff like that, all kinds of little traditions going on. You'll notice on the hat, the dress hat that the officers wear, it's got this little design on the top. It's a quadrifoil, and that's for the guys up there, the sharpshooters up in the, that had the elevation that were sitting there. You know, you're going to look for different folks, could identify their own team and take out, you know, I got this one of ours. Oh, that one ain't got it. Fire away. So that design comes from, you know, back then. The whole leatherneck comment that you hear is a thing. Well, back from that whole dealing with boarding parties and whatnot, and people using the various cutlasses and such. And I don't mean the Cutlass Supreme, the type of swords, and it was that band of leather around the neck to protect the wound, to protect from wounds. And, you know, all those things come in. You'll hear the phrase devil dog from World War One, which is extremely relevant to Friday's holiday. The battle at Belleau Woods, the Germans were like, they just kept coming. They were like devil dogs, and Tufel London, as they called them, in the original tongue. That's where they came up with the phrase devil dogs, another moniker earned in combat.
It was the maps,
so,
right?
You know, say again?
It was the mask they were wearing, right? That's why they made the coined the phrase devil dog, because the way they – I thought it had something to do with the reflection of the light, but it was the mask, like the gas mask they were wearing, wasn't it? kind of made them have that dogish look. They looked like they were coming out of the, I don't know, it was something.
It had to do with the ferocity. But, yes, you'll see, because if you'll notice in any of your images for that, go look it up. You'll see sometimes there's gas masks, sometimes they're taint. I'm sure that's an element, but Marines will drop back to the ferocity of it. I like it. But let's, why we had the World War One reference, why is Veterans Day on the 11th? Come on, people, you all got to know this.
You know, I know what it is, but I cannot. I know I've been over this before, and my brain is
on the 11th hour of the 11th day.
11th day.
The 11th month.
11th year, or yeah, month. Yep.
Yep. 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The armistice ending World War One.
Because it was, wasn't it Roosevelt to sign Veterans Day into law? I think
I might have a clue, but couldn't find one. Who's Googling it? Somebody be Googling it. I was actually catching up on how quick that hurricane's moving. But, yeah, I can't remember who actually signed it into law, to tell you the truth.
Or maybe it was Truman. I don't know, because, you know, Roosevelt, Truman, and Eisenhower did an awful lot of damage when it comes down to national holidays and everything in that little 15-year stretch. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's – or maybe it was Memorial Day that they – God, I can't remember. That's what I get for not listening in history class. Either that or I listened and I've forgotten it. That's probably closer to the way things have been going for me lately. I can't keep up with shit these days when it comes down to retention. But the Marines,
yeah,
historically speaking, have always been, by and large, the first boots on the ground. I mean, there are several instances, like I believe they sent the Army, the cavalry out there first to Vietnam, that kind of stuff. But by and large, even currently now, a lot of whenever there's some type of foreign conflict, be it major or minor, it's always the Marine Corps that gets the first call. And,
because
the Marine Corps,
it's naming and mindset. Marine Corps remains expeditionary. There's on float various places. You've got Marines, board amphibs, and the Marine Expeditionary Units. I do not believe that any of them fall in the category other than special operations capable. You know, mix of seaborne, airborne, and, of course, ground combat elements. The what's amazing is those are also leverage, special operations people are thinking stuff, okay, so they're coming down, on top of a building from, an Osprey or a Hilo or whatever the case may be. And, it's not strictly that. They may be immediately on tap to pull some humanitarian moves. The leverage of that, okay. And it's funny because logistics are logistics. You just change what you're moving. So they can go in there and do those kinds of things. But, and a lot of it's been in the traditional mindset, the naming. And people tell you some of it's, maybe a name matters, maybe it don't, that kind of thing. But the mindset is camp. Well, a camp you can set up and break down where areas the Army more traditionally fought. More static mindset. They've got elements that can move quick. It's not, just to be clear, I'm not trying to talk smack. But it's a whole, it's definitely a different mindset. It's about being able to pick up and go. And I, you know, I feel like that's why that's part of the one piece part of you really don't get to be stationed in one place for a hell of a long time. It just doesn't really happen. You can, if you're on the East Coast, you're bouncing, you know, depending upon your job, calling MOS in the Marine Corps, military occupational skill. You might be able to stay fairly close geography-wise, but you're still going to be with different commands doing different things. It's just kind of the way it is. It's a bit of a trip. They have it's the off and moving mindset. Practicing the old recall stuff. Just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, I know over Dad.
But Veterans Day, and I'll ask Tim for that. I feel like I didn't see anything set up when I was heading towards the garage. I thought they used to do a Veterans Day here in Indy, a parade, pre-COVID, right?
I don't know about that. I can mainly only think of two times they have parades. I know they've got the St. Paddy's Day parade during the daytime. They've got that one. I cannot think of any that take place besides that Indy 500, that Memorial Day parade.
Okay, because, man, I felt like I would see those bleachers set up a couple times a year, several times a year. I thought one of them was Veterans Day, maybe not. I'm with you. I haven't heard anything on radio. And really plugged in local news. Dave will tell you, because we got between the stuff there around the base and got the big Veterans Cemetery right outside Camp Johnson area there. There's always a pretty solid ceremony. Jacksonville's always so big, so it can only support so much parade-wise. Hell, Tim, let me ask you here, because, you know, you're from the area, born and raised. Did they ever do it in the past? I know there used to be Veterans Day Parade growing up.
If they did.
Where I grew up.
I mean, I could see it. I honestly don't know. I could see him doing something like that. And I have a feeling that here's the other thing, though. If they do have a parade, unless I'm watching the news or something, you know, I'm not going to know about it, because usually it's
right.
Say it's a, you know, or I would think. But because like you said, there could be, and maybe they just wouldn't even have any bleachers, because I don't think they do bleachers for the St. Paddy's Day parade. It's pretty low key. They shut off the streets for the time being, and then, you know, people just kind of line up along the streets and then disperse when it's done. So it could be something like that. But off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. And, you know, even though when I grew up there, I was on the north side, so we didn't really go downtown a whole lot at all. So, again, like,
yep,
I gotcha. Wouldn't know about that.
Okay. How about Dave? You were a Marine brat. You were all over the place. you remember Veterans Day parades growing up?
Dad, when he was stationed in Chicago, he was on recruiting duty in Chicago, and that was post-Vietnam, 75, 76 ballpark. So there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of celebrating the Marine Corps there. As a matter of fact, I recall the apartment complex we lived in, there were people there who wouldn't let their children play with me and my brother because my dad was a Marine. So, you know, that whole 70s mindset, kind of similar to what we're going through right now, there's a lack of respect for what they do and what they have to do. But in the meantime, you'll hang a yellow ribbon on the back of your car to show you care and yak, yak, yak. So I don't recall anything in Chicago being near that, but I do remember in Paris Island in Beaufort, there at the air station, it was more of a Marine Corps birthday celebration than what it was a Veterans Day thing. And everything. And you got to understand how Beaufort and Paris Island is. It's almost like there's Highway 21 that just kind of cuts right through the center of it, and Paris Island's on one end and Beaufort's on the other end. You know, in the air station in Laurel Bay, and it's almost Laurel Bay is the housing, and then 3 miles down from it is the air station, and then down the road is Paris Island, and it's a lot like Jacksonville. If you live there, you're either in the Corps or connected to the Corps somehow or another, being either a dependent or civil service or something of that effect. So I remember a lot of things being put on hold. I mean, I can remember in school, we had to be able to sing the Marine Corps hymn without, I mean, it was like American Idol. You didn't dare slip up while you were singing that stuff. And, you know,
the Marines hymn, it's not the Marine Corps hymn. It's like we go through this every year. It's a Marines hymn. Common mistake, but it's Marines hymn.
Well, I always love it when I hear people call it the Corps, Marine Corps.
there's that. Well, I guess Tim was going to write a letter to the Commandant the other day, was going to send an email.
Yeah.
He walked over to the desk next to him. I was working with the guy, and, of course, the stuff was up. Of course, I walked over to his keyboard and started mucking about and showing masterful grammatical skills.
The best part about that is I walked away to take a quick phone call from the heating and air guy, and I looked over at Sean, my guy who works right next to me, and I said, Sean, don't let anybody dick with my card, because where we work, you have to have the common access card. It's part of the PKI process.
Boy, I was trying to keep you closer to your desk, but sure, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, I had stepped away from
the phone call. So you actually told Sean, and he was over there cheering me on. He was basically helping me draft it. That was funny.
I was like, hey, keep an eye on my CAC, because that's a common practice. People will do that, and they'll do it either to be funny, or you'll have someone who's really trying to give you a lesson, and they'll take your card, and if they're really just wanting to teach you a lesson, they'll pull your card and go give it to your supervisor. You know, and then some people, I've seen them where they'll take them, pop them out of your keyboard, and then jump up and put them in the ceiling. We've done that before. But sometimes you unintentionally write a letter to the Commandant via email. So that was in progress.
Yeah, so I left one drafted up. I wouldn't even, like I told Tim, I wouldn't even put anything in the two line, man. I wouldn't want something or other to go ahead and send it erroneously. So I just sat there and whipped together a couple liner real quick. And again, the guy he had for top cover was laughing. And boy, I can corrupt them. I sure enough can corrupt them.
Oh, And then you got to back it up when it wasn't me.
No, I caught him red handed.
Yeah, Tim walked right back in, and I was dying. But that's why, I mean, Tim, to tell you, I won't put anything in the two line. I wouldn't even dare, man. I could just see some power surge or something happen. What the hell is that?
Funny is, I caught him red-handed. He looked at me. They both looked up at me like the cat that ate the canary. It was hysterical. If I could have taken a picture in time, that would have been it right there.
It's funny.
Got busted, red-handed. Now, speaking on parades, I don't even think they do the Jacksonville one here anymore. I'm racking my brain. They don't. Okay. Because
Big Thanksgiving parade, but that's slash Christmas, right. But that's it that I recall. There's that one in the Memorial Day parade are the big ones, right?
Right. I think the whole Veterans Day thing, there was a certain group of Marines that had retired all about the same time, and I want to say they were all there long enough to have fought in Korea, but not long enough to fight in Desert Storm type thing. And they were the driving force behind it. And then, of course, you know, as time wore on, they passed away and everything. The people that were, you know, picking up the slack, I don't know if there was a lost interest or if there was perhaps something going on with the city, which is a possibility. You know, Jacksonville's kind of an odd place when it comes down to...
Well, hell, it's money in the end. I'm sure every business that can't get customers coming to it, the all that stuff, Dave will tell you.
Yeah.
When we were there at Sam's, people calling, well, there's a parade. How do I get there now? How are you calling me? From the cell phone. Can you look it up on how to get here via an alternate route on your cell phone? No. Can you just tell me? Your car would probably be a good idea. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, because that thing would run from right about where the club was at. It went all the way to the end, and it went all the way down to Tarawa, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, down there to Bryn Mawr, at least.
Because Yuki, she'd go to work, and she learned after the first year, show up early to work so she could have a parking spot.
Yeah.
Because everybody would park over there in the Bryn Mawr Plaza. We had one of the many places that would get parked in, that kind of thing. That's, you know, in the businesses, everybody's in their lot. We can't get a customer in. And, you know, the customers have a hard time going through the neighborhoods to get there, although there's a million alternate routes to get there.
Especially Bryn Mawr.
None of them know how to do it. None of them know how to do it.
And the damnest thing about it is it was only usually 2 hours on a Saturday morning. I mean, like 8 to 10 on a Saturday morning.
That kind of
thing, you know, where
most
people ought to be recovering. And it's kind of funny when you give people piss and moan about never getting the chance to get any rest or, you know, I've always got to be doing something. I always got to be somewhere, man. I wish I could just have a break. Well, then when they give you an opportunity and they say, hey, stay inside for the next 2 hours, you're like, well, shit, man, I got to get out and get a crossword puzzle book and a bag of candy corn, man. I can't sit at the house. And used to amaze me just how much pissing and moaning, because I know I managed that food line. It was right there on Western Boulevard in the late 80s, early 90s. And the staff was always... Well, what do we do? Okay, well, if you're due in at 8, get here at 7:30. I'll pay you. You know, I'll pay you for an extra half hour. Just get in. And, you know, the thing of it was you'd come in at 8 o'clock and you'd stand around and fan your balls for 2 hours before, and it's like money for nothing. You know, we'd have you cleaning and that kind of jazz, but by and large, you weren't doing much else. And then 10:30, you know, 11 o'clock, things would go ahead and start cranking up as usual. But, yeah, Jacksonville's kind of wonky about that stuff, and it's a shame because
well,
I can tell you.
You know, I mean, your businesses are all your Chamber of Commerce. Your Chamber of Commerce, it's just, and I don't know if it's, I'm not going to pick on Jacksonville. I'm going to tell you it's more places than that. Now, you get the staff in there. Downtown, a bigger city, say Indy or whatever. Well, all your local restaurants, you know you're going to clean house. You know, there's going to be a lot of folks that, Mom, Dad, can we eat the kids and stuff and all that? And it's just, yeah, you know, and some families that kind of used to make it a thing to go and try to do a little bit of everything, that kind of stuff. There was one local old mom and pop's joint growing up. It was a classic, like the menu, get a full meal kind of place. That was just down off the parade route, so you would walk over to there after the parade and get something as a family. There was a place to go. But, yeah, I know I used to have such an attitude that if we were somewhere, hey, can you guys get some folks to march in the such and such parade? We got to have a military present. So you kind of want to honor the military by making the military work for a day to honor the military, right? Yeah. Good grief.
I have Googled the origin here. Bear with me. History of Veterans Day, World War One, known as the Great War, officially ended with the Treaty of Versailles. It was signed on June 28th, 1919.
Really?
Yeah.
With the whole 11th.
Well, that's what it says here. However, fighting ceased 7 months earlier, when an armistice for temporary cessation of hostilities between the Allied nations and Germany went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th month. For that reason, November 11th, 1918 is generally regarded as the end of the war to end all wars.
There we go.
In November 1919, President Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day, which has the following words. To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing that which it has freed us and because of the opportunity has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of nations. So then it goes on. It says the original concept for celebration, a brief suspension of business beginning at 11 a.m. United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War One when it passed concurrent resolution on June 4th, 1926. And let's see here. An act. Statute 52, U.S. Code, yaggity yak, approved May 13th, 1938, made the 11th of November in each year a legal holiday, a day to be dedicated to the cause of world peace and thereafter celebrated and known as Armistice Day. Armistice Day primarily a day set aside to honor veterans of World War One, but in 1954, after World War Two had required the greatest mobilization of soldiers, sailors, and Marines and airmen in nation's history, after American forces had fought aggression in Korea, The 83rd Congress, at the urging of veteran service organizations, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting in its place the word veterans. With approval of this legislation, Public Law 380 on June 1st of 1954, November 11th became a day to honor American veterans of all wars. Later that same year, on October 8th, President Dwight Eisenhower issued the first Veterans Day proclamation, which stated, in order to ensure proper and widespread observance of this anniversary, all veterans, all veteran organizations, and entire citizenry will wish to join hands in a common purpose. Towards this end, I am designating the Administrator of Veteran Affairs as Chairman of Veterans Day National Committee, which shall include such other persons as the chairman may select, and a lot of other official stuff. Yeah, so it looks like it was Eisenhower. And then, of course, the Uniform Holiday Bill was signed June 28th in 1968, and was intended to ensure three-day weekends for federal employees by celebrating four national holidays on Monday, being Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Columbus Day. So there you go. There lies.
Quick history lesson. All right, Ken.
Thank you, Google.
Hey, I appreciate you doing the – I know. I appreciate you running to the library this hour of the night, being able to do that.
I stayed up late for this report, man. I was up all night.
Well, this
– work my ass off, and I got to
beat
Google.
Dog ate my Google. The I like how it kind of got seated to me. I appreciate it. That's actually kind of y'all to do that. How about talking about some of the veterans organizations? I don't know. I know Dave sees a lot there because it's very veteran-centric community. My own perspective on those things. How about Tim? What do you see anything, or are veterans organizations impacted anything, you know, in your real world away from work life?
Oh man, Todd.
Well, it's easy. If it's okay.
Yeah, nothing really sticks out here. I mean, there's
okay.
All types.
That,
you know, I could be doing my guess, but I'm not going to even go there because if I'm wrong, I'll just look like an ass. But I have a
thought. No. I'm not asking you to do that. It's everybody has different lives. It's kind of what makes the podcast team the podcast team.
I'm stating that because I wouldn't want to, and not like there's a ton of people from Westfield, Indiana, who are listening in tonight, but I would hate to let anybody down, so that's why I want to make sure that
look, I admit I'm not plugged into local news and community events and stuff here, so yeah, no, that's fine. So yeah, I get that wrong. I've watched over the years VFW was grand when we laid my brother to rest. They got representation there and were able to do stuff, these veterans communities, because the various branches, they cannot have a presence in every community, in every county, state, across the country. So I watched what the VFW did. They're being from my brother, when I was on I-9 duty in Houston, I kind of just give you a thing here. We did entirely too many based on the circumstances. I'd rather it be something we did less of. We did entirely too many events in support of veterans' funerals. In a city that big, you're going to have a lot of people passing, and you're going to have a percentage of the veterans. And I go out there and, you know, be able to do the firing detail and stuff like that. And it's kind of funny, the stuff we didn't know we didn't know then, the things like that. You know, we've long been on that purge of the World War II veterans. Where they're just at the wrong part, the Korean War veterans now, wrong part of the power curve of their life, and our Vietnam veterans are in that ugly window right now as well. It's just that thing that goes on. And so the military, again, can't, you know, your active duty folks, even your reserve organizations, it can only be so many places. And it tries to rely heavily on the reserve centers for the outlying communities. But there's a ton of veteran groups. I'm going to throw out to me what are the big two are the Legion and the VFW. AMVETS is huge. Just a bunch of other ones, Marine Corps League, things like that. The bunch of other ones. Hitting the names. Go ahead.
What about Lions Club?
As far as I know, that's not veteran-centric.
No, I think that's more like Moose Lodge kind of. Yeah, I don't think there's AMVETS, NAVVETS, the VFWs. Trying to think of other ones.
American Legion.
Yeah, and there's a couple of actually motorcycle-based ones here around Jacksonville now.
Yeah, you've got some very independent groups. But they'll go there and they'll do the various support things. You know, it may not sound like much, but there's so many people that can play trumpet. There's you know, some of the stuff that's out there. Just some of the folks that did different little things over the years. The fact that they could go there and they're working and they can show up and they've got the flag to drape on the casket. They know how to fold it. And these are, in the end, everyday Joes. At least your service members can show up in the uniform that's part of what they're required to maintain. It's amazing. So they all do a heck of a job. So those that do have the Veterans Day parades and just note the irony that the veterans at the parades are there to honor or the ones in the parade walking and why the unwashed, I wanted to go negative. I'll behave. Why the folks out there that haven't done it, the people we're celebrating, we're going to make them sit out there and be the ones out there sweating and walking in the parade. Just remember that irony.
Rolling Thunder is who I was trying to think of.
Yeah, they're big, huge, huge nationwide presence.
That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Nationwide presence.
And you know, alluding to what you was talking to, if you've never been to a military honors funeral, particularly the Marine Corps, and again, not to throw shade on any other branch of the armed services, but there is something about going to a Marine Corps funeral. It is the closest thing you will ever have from having the heart ripped directly out of your chest cavity without Mola Ram or some type of voodoo being involved. As a matter of fact, last year, my brother-in-law, dad-in-law passed, who I was relatively tight with, and, you know, my wife and my son had never been to a military honors funeral, and I told them, I says, let me go ahead and give you a heads up. I don't give a damn how badass you are. You're not going to hold up to it. So, you know, don't put on your shades and try to be cool, or don't try to damn sniff it back, because, and it's an amazing thing to watch. And those young men that are, you know, currently active duty that do that, do the honors. I mean, the precision that goes into it, it's absolutely amazing to watch, and it's very, very emotional. I mean, it is a straight-up gut punch, and if you have any type of respect at all for your country, you can't hold it back. And it's an amazing thing. And, you know, then, of course, when you salt in the rifle fire and the bagpipes playing and just the flag alone.
We were on 99. Let me tell you, we had a guy that on our staff that could actually play trumpet. And so there were very few funerals he did not end up coming out to. Because they tried to do anything we could to avoid playing the recording of Taps, Daniel Butterfield's waltz, for the historical purposes. Look, I've been part of those details at different levels, part of the firing detail. I've had the billet where I was in charge of the firing detail. I've been part of those folding the flag. I've been part of those giving the flag. It friggin' sucks. It would, we had, when I was on I-9's, an inspector staff. It is the active duty cadre that ties together the reserve organization there. It's usually made up of regular active duty folks, if you will, and the some of the active reserve folks. And of course, all the reservists for the weekends, you know, that's where they do their thing, National Guard, if you will. They have 1 weekend a month, 2 weekends a year, and of course, all the stuff that will go on around it. You know, these are guys, day job stuff like that, and that are uniforms, and we go out there and we, you know, show up in the dress blues and do our stuff.
Yeah, in July. And you couldn't, you know, you don't wipe the sweat. And some funerals have a habit of lasting longer than others. and you've got to be out there in that direct sunlight in your blues, and you can't flinch. You got to, I mean, what those young men do is phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I attended one last year, and the son-in-law, the gentleman who had passed away, his son-in-law was a gunnery sergeant, and they did the flag folding, and normally after the flag is folded and tucked, the one closest to the widow is the one that hands the flag. Well, that young man handed the flag to the son-in-law, and the son-in-law presented it to his mom-in-law. And, I mean, God, just thinking about it screws me up. His shoulders were a square. His posture, you could have put a level on his ass. But his hands were trembling. When he handed that flag over, man, and if that stuff don't get you in the gut, then, you know, pack your shit and go somewhere else. Because that's just some amazing stuff. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people miss that. And that's to me, I know the military upbringing wasn't easy. You know, there was a certain set of rules that you had to go by that other kids didn't have to go by. Because I know a lot of us military brats, we got out to civilian schools and everything. We were all like, what in the hot hell is this? You know, your shirt ain't tucked in. You know, there was just a lot of stuff that was different. And, you know, I often, very often, appreciate the fact that I was blessed enough to be born into a military family. Just because, you know, it was a pain in the ass being a kid because you had to mow the yard in a certain direction, or you had to sit up straight, and you had to carry a certain, you know, level of grades and everything else. But on the flip side, when you get out there in real life, you appreciate the fact that you had that kind of structure at a young age, and you weren't cast off into the wilderness of adulthood without the knowledge of structure. So yeah, it's heavy stuff, man. It's like I said, I think a lot of folks just don't get it, so they don't appreciate it. Or they, worse yet, do the false appreciation where they hang the stuff on their door and
thank you for your service.
You know, but they, you know, they just don't really mean it. And, but yeah, I mean, and speaking of which, in the event that you're one of these type of people who wants to thank people for their service, tomorrow's the good day to do it, or Friday's the good day to do it. Not on Memorial Day. Todd, we always cover that on the Memorial Day show where it's not, you know, you'll walk up to a person who's living and thank them for their service. It's like, no, not on Memorial Day. So
I will – we have – and, you know, you guys can correct me. I'm one person who sees things from my own eyes, and I was never enlisted. So, but I've heard people – speak to what I'm about to say. And so I think we've come a long way as a society, because that's one thing that you will hear. And people do go out of their way now to at least say, thank you for your service. Whereas what my stepdad told me is back when he returned, they were not greeted so thankfully. In fact, they were called baby killers, you know, and whatever else. So it's one thing to keep in mind, and I do feel that we've come a long way with that one.
That was one of the things I can remember as a child, because we left Chicago when I was in the first grade, and that was when I went into a military school, DOD-type school and everything, and everything was so different. And you know, whenever your dad got deployed, I don't give a shit if you got along with your dad or mom, as the case may be. There's something about putting them on a plane, and I've always marveled. And again, it's another one of those things I never really bought into until I had my family. You know, when you're a kid, you say goodbye to your dad. He goes to Okinawa for a year, 2 or 3 years, whatever in the hell it was, or whatever, and whatever was going on, floats or whatever. And, you know, as a kid, you missed your dad, you missed your mom, but you went home with your brothers and sisters and the remaining parent, and you went home, and you cried it off, and you did your thing, and you kept on getting it. Whereas my dad, you know, he got on that plane, and you know, he landed in Okinawa or wherever they were sending him, and it was him. That was it. So the amount of sacrifice, the amount of gut that it takes to do that is absolutely phenomenal, and they deserve every bit of damn respect. And I will often say this too, and Todd, I know you've heard me rattle on many times about it. I don't think we honor Marine Corps spouses as much as we should either. When you stop and think of how many times the spouse becomes both parents.
There is no damn way. I'm going to tie your damn long comment into this. There's no damn way the Yuki toughness of those years as an active duty Marine Corps spouse that she developed would allow us to get through what we do now.
Oh, yeah.
That toughness is what allows it. Because she knows that for the lawn, my habits were, we're going to do diagonal top right, bottom left, diagonal top left, bottom right. We're going to do left to right, and then we're going to do top to bottom. That is a cycle, so you don't have a permanent pattern in the lawn. She knows to do that rotation, and I sure enough, I'll periodically ask her, you rotate the way you do the lawn. I am. Dumbass, I learned from you. And I'll periodically, but you know, that was something, you know, when I was there, I'd do it. Well, Dave, you remember you know how hot it would get in the summer there, but if I had a closing shift, I'd make sure the lawn, you know, especially with the weather cycle and stuff like that, sometimes you'd have that one dry day, and man, God forbid we had one of those summer heavy rain cycles, that lawn would be up to your knees in a couple days. And you get to the point there, that is no joke. You've got to cut it every 5 days. You really do.
Absolutely.
And I'd be doing it. They're like, you cut the lawn before you came in? Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to let it go. You know, and you just knew that it was one of the diagonal days or one of the east, west, north, south days. It's just the way it is. That's a tough, you know, that spouse, they got to deal with that toughness. Husband on recruiting duty, oh, for fuck's sake. Husband on I&I, oh, lovely, Toys for Tots season. Yeah, well, you ain't going to see him. Where the hell's he going in his blues tonight? That's just, yeah, it just, oh, good grief. It's just, It's always something, as Gilda Radner used to say. The it's that thing, hey, gang, we're pushing 20 after. Just thought I'd mention it.
Some of us do have a big day tomorrow, don't we, Todd?
Oh, and indeed we do. For example, like that one-hour meeting that took two-plus hours today, and yeah. Oh, boy, Tim, you could have a conversation on the side about something that just, yeah. Just can't deal with some stuff. Yeah. All right. Our go-rounds. Tim, what you got?
I don't have much. You know, just to,
That's what she said.
To follow along with the theme, I would have said it at the beginning, but I knew I wanted to save it to the end. Happy birthday to all Marines out there. And on a wider scale, happy Veterans Day. As Todd would always say, remember why we have the day off. It's not just another day to lounge around and think
now,
about it.
Watch everybody steal my lines.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we are going to plan a quick one-night getaway, the wife and I. We are taking advantage of the neither one of us working Friday. So we are doing that, but, you know, always remember why. Other than that, I'm looking forward to getting the heater. Actually, they're coming back out tomorrow to finish the install, I hope. And
that meeting ought to have some great noise between the dogs yapping at them and the pounding. And I remember when the roof was done post tree falling.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. Yep, because that's an important meeting that we're going to have tomorrow is, yeah, all that's going to be going on. So you're absolutely right. You are right.
Yeah, I expect us to push on that one meeting into the other meeting, and I suspect we're going to have a three-hour marathon tomorrow.
Oh,
just
yes.
Saying. And that's the stuff we do every day, folks. Yay! Yeah. What we
but
do,
that's
how
it.
Funny.
Other than that,
no, I'm glad you and Kim are getting away.
Yeah. It's actually kind of a surprise for me. We were just the last thing to touch on. It wasn't Metamora. We chose. Dang it! I let her choose the area. Cannot. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank. It's a place in northern Indiana, not quite Michigan. But she's super stoked about it. I told her I did not want to know about it. So it's like an Airbnb type place we're staying at. So looking forward to that. Everyone, I hope you all have a great week.
Until you see the bill.
We'll be back here next week. Yeah, right.
Yep. All right. No, good to go. I'm glad. Yeah. You know, and every breather will, make sure you're on a high-protein diet tomorrow. Good to go. Good to go. All right, Diamond Dave, what you got? Because I know you'll end up eventually strolling back in, fighting through the patio door, and the dogs greeting you. Wow, no Diamond Dave? So that'd be interesting. All right, let me just throw in a quick story about my wrongness. Saying about Diamond Dave and his rescue dogs, how much he loves them. And one of my brothers recently picked up a stray cat that had been abandoned from a household when they moved. And, trying to decide what the heck they were going to do for a name, and I had strongly suggested General So's Kitten. And since it's a female cat,
boy.
They could call her Jen for short. I did. I said sounds good to me, but I really did. General Tso's kitten. What's wrong with that? I think that's a great suggestion for a cat's name.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah. We can go ahead and do that. And, oh, this classic. Because I'm wondering how this is going to work for the thing signing off. I guess if Dave's call went sideways, he can still watch the gear. And I don't know if he can listen that way and maybe just not chime in. The look, remember why, you know, Veterans Day, why it really started after World War One. Understand we've had veterans from the Revolutionary War going onward. It's been one long series of fights. One thing after the other. So remember what the holiday is for. Phone update mode totally. Oh, that's awesome. Hey, his phone went into an automated update. Hey, let me snooze this update. Oh, you want to do the update now? That's hilarious, Dave. Sent a message from the tablet. Oh, we got it, Dave. Hopefully you're being able to hear some sort of audio on some level from us. We're going to laugh at your expense. I know. Don't want to be remiss. I know Dave would want us to reference the Sergeant Major's dad. He did get to meet him. We had a little deal over at Dave's and got to have a little time talk with Dave's dad and mom. Oh, nice. Between the, boy, they're amazingly enough, this is a wonderful team I have between Dave and Tim. They're hazing me via messages. We talk and go to do the closing. It's classic. Yeah, it's an update, not a SIM card. Thanks, guys. Tell you what, change your phone provider. It's a wondrous thing. I know what phone provider I won't recommend for people. Back to that SIM card thing. All right. In all seriousness. Yeah. Care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Look, it's real easy to get down in the dumps. There's plenty enough reason to get there. I get it. I can relate. Continue to look for the positive things. No, Dave, I won't say go to the light. My luck will be either reincarnated as a moth or even worse, I'll be reincarnated as myself. Again, just, you know, there's always things positive. Don't keep your eyes open. I ain't saying have Pollyanna glasses on. Just do that. And if all else fails, just grin. People will wonder what the hell it is that you're up to. All right, Diamond Dave. I'm hoping you can hear and cue in the British lady. Happy Marine Corps birthday, 247th. Happy Veterans Day. We appreciate you all hanging around with us. Dave, Tim, I needed this night with y'all just hanging out. Much appreciated.
Rock and roll.
Where's that compound British lady? Oh, yeah, well, that's kind of the idea, Dave. It's funny now his phone's at 3%. Yeah, that update went well. Hopefully, I don't know. I assume, push come to shove,